according to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else says, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray you've been having a good day. You done got up and you done said your prayers, done had your devotion. You done read something out the word of God. And now you done had some physical food. You done got up and done got you a good breakfast in. No, I hadn't had my oatmeal yet. But when I finish my morning show this morning, I'm gonna get my good oatmeal. You know, I told you the other week I like that fruity oatmeal. You know, that variety pack kind of oatmeal. You know, I got the strawberry, the bananas, the peaches, and the cream. And so I had banana the other day, and I had peaches and cream. So I probably gonna have me some strawberry. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I like all of it. And I got me some bananas. I'm gonna chop up me some bananas in my oatmeal. And I'm gonna have me some good oatmeal this morning. All right, and hopefully you'll have you something or done had yourself something. All right. Well, we're happy to have you this morning. And this morning, we got a wonderful program for you this morning. This morning, we'll be answering Bible questions. Today is Bible questions and answers. And, I just love it when we go into the Word of God and get the Bible questions and answers. But before I get those questions out this morning, let me just give you some contact information just in case you have a Bible question that you want me to answer here in the Situation Room. You can send your Bible question or even questions about the Christian life or marriage question. If you just got a question and you want to get a biblical answer and a biblical perspective on it, then just call them in at 972-257-3766. Call it in, 972-257-3766, and leave it on my voicemail. Or you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. All right. Okay, let me get my Bible, and I got the questions here. Okay, all right, let me get comfortable in my seat here. All right, what does the Bible say about women's wearing pants to church? Now, we was answering this question on last week, and we ran out of time, And I was right in the middle, and I had given the Old Testament teaching about that, but I hadn't even made it over to the New Testament, and we really need to get into the New Testament. So that's why I wanted to finish answering this question: what does the Bible say about women's wearing pants to church? And I, you know, over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22:5, we gave that scripture last week, and because I think that that scripture there is the source of confusion. Deuteronomy 22:5 that says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And now most people say, see there, the Bible says a woman can't wear no pants. Well, that ain't exactly what it said. It says that a woman is not to wear clothes that pertains unto a man. Don't put on the man's pants. See, they got women's pants and they got men's pants. So a lady shouldn't be putting on the man pants, and the man shouldn't be putting on the lady pants. Wear your own pants. Those are words. That's what God is basically saying here. You need to wear your own clothes. Y'all don't need to be switching up. Now, I know sometimes, you know, even husband and wives, they'll switch up, you know, in their house. And, you know, the husband, he'll wear, you know, the ladies' underwears, and the man, the woman will wear the man's underwear and stuff like that. Well, y'all pray for us here in the Situation Room. But what I really feel like God is dealing with here, though, more than anything, God is dealing here, I believe, with this cross-dressing that goes on. You got a lot of men's that want to be women's, and you got a lot of women's that want to be men's. And I think that's what God is really speaking against, is all this cross-dressing and, you know, this homosexuality and all of that other kind of stuff that that goes on. Because you got some men's that dress up just like a woman, and you think that that is a woman. You got a lot of even transvestites out there. Even before they have their operation and stuff, they still can dress up and look just like a woman, and you be thinking that there is a woman with all the makeup and all of that. So I think a lot of that, I think that's kind of what that scripture, but that scripture there has been taken all out of proportion, where, you know, women's can't wear pants and stuff like that. And I've, you know, preachers, you know, they've used that passage to say women's gonna go to hell if they put on pants and stuff. I don't really think clothes so much send you to hell. I think it's your attitude about your clothes and stuff is what, you know, God is dealing with. And we dealt with some of those scriptures last week, and I won't go back through that, particularly back over in Isaiah chapter 3. Verses 16 through 24. Read that in your own spare time. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We read that on last week, so I won't take time this week, because I want to go on over to the New Testament, over in 1 Timothy. Over in 1 Timothy, it deals with how women's are to dress there, particularly in church. And over in 1 Timothy, it tells us, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, in like manner, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. You can write these scriptures down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, in like manners also that women adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearl, or costly array, but but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. In other words, when ladies, when you come to church, you ought not be dressed in a way that's going to cause attention, that's going to draw attention unto yourself. That's what he's talking about here when he says, come dressed modestly. Don't come dressed to the extreme. See, how do you know a lot of time a prostitute out there on the street? Because a prostitute, she has her dress cut real, real short. And she have her blouse hanging way down where you can see her breasts and what have you. And that's what he's speaking against. And then a lot of times she have her hair fixed up in a certain way. And her hair is very unusual. She got, you know, different stuff in her hair and stuff, and which is going to cause attention. And see, back in Bible days, ladies would put all kind of stuff. They would decorate their hair almost like decorating a Christmas tree. They got gold and pearls and all kind of jewelry. They would have like a jewelry box up there in their hair. Well, you knew that that was a prostitute most of the time. And so that's what Paul is saying. Don't come to church looking like a prostitute. Don't come to church drawing attention to yourself, because now you done took the attention off the Lord. See, when people go to church, all our attention should be focused on Jesus. It should be focused on Jesus. But if you come in there, you know, with a short dress on, or you come in there with real, real tight pants, and see, it's like at my church, I allow the ladies to wear pants, but what I don't want to see, I don't want to see all these tight pants is on. Yeah, some of these ladies, they come, they dressed in tight pants. Well, that's too tight. Yeah, where you know, is hugging everything. You know, when I was a little boy, they used to have what they call hip huggers and stuff. And you don't supposed to be wearing hip huggers and clothes that's fitting you like hip huggers, you know, to church and stuff. No, and actually, you ought not be dressed like that out even in the world. Because, like I say, you don't want to draw so much attention to yourself that people are wondering about your religion. Is he really saved, dressed like that? See, the Bible says if you're going to get attention, get some attention by doing good works for the Lord. That's what he says in verse number 10. But which become women's professing godliness. See, there needs to be a difference in how a church lady dress, a lady that know Jesus, and a lady that don't know Jesus. A lady that don't know Jesus, yeah, we can expect her to dress like a prostitute. But a lady that do know Jesus, well, you know, you ought not be dressed like a prostitute. You ought to look, when people look at you, they ought to say, now, she must be a child of God, the way she dressed. She must be a child of God, because she ain't dressed like a lot of these other, you know, loose women's and stuff out there in the world. No, she dressed like she's a child of God. See, they used to teach church etiquette a lot of time in the church. A lot of churches done got away from teaching church etiquette. And they would teach the ladies what to wear on informal occasion and how you ought to dress for formal occasion. You know, it's just like in the army. You got certain clothes for certain situations. See, if you're on the battlefield, then you need to be wearing your battlefield clothes. But if you're going to go see the president, then you need to be dressed in your dress blues or your dress greens or whatever, you know, part of the military branch that you in. But they got formal and they got informal. So if you're going to see the president, then you need to be dressed formally. And so a lady that's in the military, she'll probably wear her, you know, her skirt suit or her dress suit or what have you, because she's going to see the president. Well, because you're coming to see God, then you probably, by that being formal, then you probably want to wear your nice dress suit or your nice skirt suit or something like that, because that's a worship service supposed to be a formal occasion. Yeah, yeah. I know that it's, you know, it's getting to be informal, but I teach people, listen, if you can dress up to go to work, and then you ought to be able to dress up and come to church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should dress better for God than you do your boss. See, on your job, a lot of time, they won't let you just come in there any kind of way. So don't be upset if your pastor tell you, I don't want you coming to church any kind of way. So, you know, check it out and see what your pastor say. Now, if your pastor don't permit the women's to wear pants, then, you know, submit to his guidelines and follow his rules. Or if your husband say he don't want you to wear pants to church, then submit to your husband. I say, okay, well, I'll respectfully, so, you know, submit to that. So follow your husband or your pastor's guideline. Now, if they're going to the extreme where they want you to, you know, wear a dress that's going to be tripping over and stuff like that, I don't so much see that. So, you know, but if you can't obey, you know, your pastor, then find another church. Find another church where you can obey. Or pray. Before you find another church, let me kind of retract that, kind of bag up. Because your pastor is there to tell you what thus said the Lord. And don't fall out with your pastor over just the dress. I believe God done sent you there to that church to be up under his leadership. Then if he's leading you in the right way for the most part in that Bible, then don't fall out just because you want to wear pants at church because they're doing it at this other church. No. Obey your pastor. Obey your pastor and pray about it. Pray about it. Yeah, that's what we need to do. All us need to do, you know, we need to pray about things because we need to change. And sometimes we don't want to change because change is hard. But I believe if you pray that God will show you. God will show you. All right, let me run on because I don't spend way too much time on that. But I felt like that we needed to go and look at New Testament scripture. Also, let me throw in another scripture with that. You can write this down. I won't turn to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Yeah, and it talks about being like godly women. All right, let me rush on. Second question, what does it mean to turn the other cheek? What does it mean to turn the other cheek? What does it mean to turn the other cheek? Well, let's take a look at that scripture. That scripture is found in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. Let's just read that. Matthew 5, verses 38 through 41. It says in verse 38, ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smit thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. All right. All right. All right. Now, what this is dealing with, let me back up. It don't mean, turning the other cheek don't mean that you are not to defend yourself. Let me just put that out first of all, okay? This is not telling us that we can't defend ourselves. Jesus is not telling us that we can't protect yourself or protect your family or protect your property. But you should not get into a personal revenge. That's what Jesus is dealing with. He's dealing with personal revenge. See, Jesus here is teaching a philosophy of nonviolence. Just like, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King had a philosophy of nonviolence. Well, basically, this is where he's getting it from. Right here from Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus teaching here on the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is basically telling us that we need to have an attitude of nonviolence. That Christians, his followers, should be people of nonviolence. You know, particularly when the government or your oppressors got the upper hand on you. Jesus is also teaching you, you know, how to survive, how to live. Yeah. See, the Roman government had the upper hand on them. They had the swords. They had the spears. They had the, let me put it this way, they had the guns, so to speak. Well, Israel didn't have hardly anything. And so that's like trying to fight a battle, but you are in a sword fight without a sword. So Jesus said, hey, listen, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. You can do that. So he's teaching them how to survive. It was just like in Martin Luther King day, back in the day, when there was a big race problem. Well, for the most part, the white folks, they was in the seat of power. They were your mayors, your governors. They controlled the police department. They controlled the army. They controlled everything. Well, Martin Luther King said, we ain't gonna be able to fight fire with fire like this. Because they already got the upper hand on us. So we're going to have to fight fire with something that's different than fire. And in other words, we're going to fight fire with water, like. And so the nonviolent was a different tactic. It was like fighting fire with water. As a result, it made the oppressors look at themselves, and they had to change. Because if you beating, fighting somebody, and this other person is not fighting back, then that makes you look like you wrong. You're a bully because you done slapped that person didn't even slap back. And so that's what Martin Luther King basically did. He fought a nonviolent struggle, and they brought the cameras down there, and they put the cameras on it. And like when President Kennedy saw Sheriff Bull Connor sicking the dogs out and calling out the fire hydrant and shooting those defenseless people with fire hydrant, you know, water hoses, and beating them, the black people, you know, and they was defenseless. That's what made, and they put that on television, that's what made the president get involved and say, hey, we need to do something, because they beating them people, and them people didn't even fight back. And so nonviolence can be, a philosophy can be a very, very powerful philosophy. So what does it mean to turn the other cheek? It's not telling you that you are not to defend yourself or protect yourself, but it's teaching about personal revenge. Don't get into a personal revenge. Matter of fact, Paul even went a little bit further on that and kind of explained that over in Romans chapter 12, verses, 19. 20 and 21, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Jesus was saying. If a person asks you to go 1 mile, go with them two. Back in Jesus' day, the Roman government, they could compel you to carry their pack sack, their heavy load, for at least 1 mile. That was more or less a rule. That was like a law. They can compel you to go 1 mile. But Jesus says, listen, if they ask you to do that, because you are a child of God, carry that load for 2 miles. And then they'll see that you're different. You're different. Yeah. And that's how you change behavior. That's how you change wicked behavior, is when you show people that you're better than them by not being violent, but by responding in non-violent ways. All right, that's our lesson this morning. That's going to be all the questions we're going to have time to answer. We had one more good question. I wish I had time to answer it, but I don't. But I can give you the question. Do you have to confess your sins publicly? Do you have to confess your sins publicly? Well, you're going to have to tune in next time, next Wednesday. Same channel, as they say on Batman, same channel, same station. And we'll answer that question about, do you have to confess your sins publicly? All right. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and strengthen you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. All right, now get ready for Miss June. Miss June Hunt is coming on in just a minute or so. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preached right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. A wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. They're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You just got to stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. So listen for that at 11 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.